This clip has two more stops. Be ready to pause the audio. Most militia use their horses for transportation, but dismount for combat, neither trained nor equipped to fight from horseback. However, some men are asked to make a mounted attack on the near, narrow end of the Loyalist rectangle, somewhere within sight of you uphill. They charge up this end of the ridge. The Tories fire a defensive volley, and the cavalry returns fire. Chesney, dismounted, receives a slight wound. When he gets back to his horse, he finds it shot dead. A Whig ahead of the others draws the fire of one Loyalist, who then hightails it for their camp. The Patriot dismounts, lowers his rifle, and drops the Tory with a bullet to the head. The rest of the Loyalist line retreats, leaving wounded behind. Some of the attackers are killed or wounded as well, but the others pull back and rejoin their units. Take the walking instructions under Fight Like Devils. Pause. As Campbell's 200 Virginians take up their positions in the valley below, he throws off his coat and yells, "Here they are, my brave boys! Shout like hell and fight like devils!" Draper says the men creep up, tree by tree, almost to the top. Awaiting them here are the provincial redcoats. These launch their first bayonet charge past you and down the hill, joined by some of the militia from the rectangle. A few Whigs are stabbed, and the rest break, running all the way across the valley and up the distant ridge. The provincials, maintaining discipline under Chesney, halt near the bottom of the slope, climb back here, and cross the top to charge Shelby's men as described before. Campbell and his officers wrangle the Virginians back into line, and they charge toward you again. Lieutenant Robert Edmondson is wounded in an arm and drops behind a tree. As one of the men bandages him, he yells to the others, "Let us at it again!" Leonard Heiss's left arm is broken by two musket balls. He kept fighting. With the assistance of my comrades who would push my bullets down, I shot 3 rounds. Then he takes a bullet through his left leg, one hits his breast, and another shatters his right thigh bone, finally ending his battle. He survives. Campbell's men are driven off a second time by the bayonets, but reform and charge again. Captain William Edmondson drives ahead, one of 7 kin here. Tories charge him. He fires a shot, clubs the musket out of one man's hands, grabs him, and hauls him by the neck down the mountainside. After securing him, Edmondson pushes up again, only to be wounded in the head, body, or both. Sources differ. Laid under a tree, holding his wound to stanch the blood, he is visited by Campbell. With his free hand, he takes Campbell's and kisses it. Edmondson does not survive. During one climb, Lieutenant Reese Bowen refuses to take cover. One of his men yells, "Why, Bowen, do you not take a tree?" Bowen responds, "Never shall it be said that I sought safety by hiding my person." As soon as he finishes, a bullet strikes his chest and kills him, leading to his brother's close call with Colonel Cleveland. During the last bayonet charge, Loyalist Drury Mathis is wounded down slope. He plays dead as the Virginians fight their way past him. Left behind the next day, he avoids capture. Cross the hill to the other edge and look down. Pause. At some point during the battle, Tories take cover behind a table of rocks along the top, probably around here. Shelby sends a party against them, which gets within 40 steps before the rest of Shelby's unit retreats in confusion for some reason, and Shelby fears a rout. Their leader goes to help rally the troops, ordering the others to keep up their fire, which they do so well that Ferguson sends reinforcements. After the battle, upwards of 20 Tory bodies were found, completely jammed in between the rocks, who had been shot directly through the head, a testament to the skill of Shelby's sharpshooters. Turn around and look across the ridgetop. Meanwhile, Luck steps in. As DePaister reports, "Unfortunately, Major Ferguson made a signal by whistle for us to retreat, being afraid that the enemy would get possession of the height from the other side. The Tory militia with them, unsure why the redcoats are pulling back, begin to panic and flee. Their officers cut down some of their own men to regain control, which doesn't work. The attackers on both sides gain the top and come together." Ensign Campbell writes, "It was about this time that Colonel Campbell advanced in front of his men and climbed over a steep rock close by the enemy's lines to get a view of their situation and saw that they were retreating from behind the rocks that were near to him." Scroll to and use the walking instructions under A Story Comes Full Circle and click its audio clip.